This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
Hey, thank you, Dale, and welcome here to the Christian War Room. Let me just remind you of our scripture for the War Room. To make sure, yeah, you don't think we are calling people to take up arms and to become all violent and all that. That's not us, okay? We are warring against bad ideas, against knowledge that, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And you can find this in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. And also Ephesians chapter 6 talks a lot about the Christian armor, the armor of God we should take on to defend ourselves and to fight the Christian war. And again, it's a war of ideas. Yeah. We need to get the gospel out, and that's really the commission we have. And we don't need weapons of warfare to get the gospel out. All we need is just a voice, yeah, some sort of channel and output, and to get the gospel out there. And if you tune into the Christian War Room, you've never heard about the gospel, I just want to tell you one thing, and that is we are all sinners. As far as God is concerned, we are not right before Him. We are lacking, we are missing. And all religions, they tell us one thing, and that is we need to change ourselves and do stuff to ourselves to be pleasing to God. We need to, the Buddhists, they need to meditate and switch off any desires, any evil desires, and then it's all about karma and things like that. For the Muslims, yeah, you have to, do the Shahada, and then there's the pillars of Islam. So you need to live a good life, and then the good and the bad deeds are weighed against one another. And if you're lucky, you make it. Or you do the shortcut and you do the jihad. Then you can go straight to heaven and you get your 72 virgins, huras. That is their concept of salvation. But if you don't do this, all you can do is, do your Ramadan and your fasting and good works and pay your jizya. No, zakat, I think it's zakat, not jizya. Jizya is only for the dhimmis, for those who are not Muslims. They need to pay that. But pay zakat, pay alms, do good works, be a good person, and, support the cause of Islam. And then if you're lucky, you may get it. You can get to heaven. But God really doesn't do anything, for you. As such, it's all down to you. We've got a lot of other religion. It's always down to what you need to do, to deal with this problem of that we are not right before God. Now, Christianity has got a totally different thing. Yeah? And you may be able to accept it, you may not be able to accept it. God became flesh. That is what the Bible tells us in John. He became flesh. And He lived a perfect life. Yeah? Perfect life from beginning to end. He followed the law God has given us, and He lived a perfect life. Then He let Himself be crucified at the cross. Not just crucified, but when you read the story of the Passion, He was whipped, beaten, and He was weakened so far that He collapsed. Jesus collapsed on the way to the crucifixion. And when He was almost gone, they still crucified Him to the cross. And He died. Yeah. He died on the Friday. And on the Sunday, He rose again from the dead. Death could not hold Him because He did not commit any sin. But He died and He shed His blood for your sin, for my sin, for everyone who has sinned against God. God has placed a punishment for you and for me upon Him. The only thing you need to do is you need to accept it. You need to put your faith in Him. And there's this example in the Old Testament where the Israelites were rebelling against Moses, and God sent snakes into the tent, and people were bitten by the snakes and died. They called out to Moses, and then God said, okay, I'm going to give you a sign. Take this pole and put a snake made of brass on this pole. Everybody who gets bitten by a snake and looks at this pole will not die, but will survive. Yeah, that was a message. And God is giving us the same message today, that if you sin and you look at Jesus Christ and you trust in what He did on the cross, you can live and you can enter into a relationship with God. The Bible talks about the new birth from above, and the Holy Spirit being poured out, leading us into all truths, convicting us of righteousness and sin, and helping us to understand and allowing us to enter into a relationship with God. And that is really the key message we've got in the Bible. And you can accept this and you can, take this on. But it's up to you. So I'm not talking about any church. I'm not talking about any denomination. I'm not interested in that. All I'm talking about is the Bible and you meeting Jesus Christ as your Savior. and Lord and Master. And that is really what the key is, yeah. The rest is secondary, you know. If find a church, there are lots of good churches around. Some are good, some are horrible. But that's the key thing, you know. You should not go into the grave without knowing Jesus in your life, without having received the forgiveness of your sins, you know, through Jesus Christ. Yeah. If you go to the grave without this, you're going to go to hell. That is pretty much the message of the New Testament. You go with the forgiveness of your sins, you're going to go to heaven. And you're going to go to a glorious place, a really good place, a place of love, a place which is just right. And I tell you the word, there's a lot of stuff which is good and which is right. And God has done a marvelous, amazing creation. But there's also a lot of stuff which is just absolutely horrible. A lot of slavery going on here, whether you want to see it or not. Anyway, we are talking about identity today. So that is the gospel. That is really the message here in the Christian War Room. That is what we reach out for. But I want to talk about identity and what identity is all about. Yeah. And again, identitarians in Europe is not a very bad word. It's almost like a swear word. They're really bad people, according to the established parties and politicians and the media. Yeah. The established media, just to make the point, I've read saw a signpost recently and said something about America, that there were a couple of thousand media outlets or media companies, but they're all owned by six corporations. Yeah, this is how narrow it has become. And now we've got attempts to shut down the free media on the internet. Yeah, these attempts are there as well. Okay, so what have you got in the Christian War Room? And about identity. Identity is a bad word. Yeah, we talked last time about identity. You know, there are many aspects of identity. You know, who you are. And it could be religious identity. It could be a hobby. It could be sex. It could be profession, ethnicity. Cultural identity. It could be family, language as well. Very important. It could be age. Yeah, could be age as well. So a young person has got a different identity. A child has got a different identity to a pensioner. And a working person has got a different identity, you know, working life, maybe from 20 to 40, 50, to a child and a pensioner. So there are certain identities as well. People sometimes take a lot of pride in their age group as well, and different age groups do different things. And it's very interesting, sort of, when you observe human life and how it transitions and changes from, you know, from birth all the way to the grave, you know. Right. The identity aspect I want to look at today is sexual identity and the identity where some people say, you know, I'm a bloke, but I don't want to be a bloke anymore. I want to be a woman. Or vice versa. Some women say, I don't want to be a woman anymore. I want to be a bloke. And then they come up with this. Yeah. And we've had all these TV programs, media coverage, and Bruce Jenner and all the rest of it. And then suddenly they, you know, change their gender. Yeah? And again, the argument used to be, you know, these people, they're really suffering, you know, they're really in a difficult situation. If you don't give them what they want, you know, they'll destroy themselves and they'll probably commit suicide. What they don't tell you, that's quite interesting as well, the people who go through this transition, they're very often, they're so isolated because other people don't know what to do with them anymore. That they enter some twilight zone, in a sense, you know, in the isolation of what they are going through, that the suicide rate is a lot higher than that. Then, you know, then people who don't do the transition and they feel they can't cope with life, you know, as a bloke, male or a female, you know, the gender or the sex they were born with. I want to sort of go right back to the Bible, and the Bible has got a very clear definition. You know, God made man, male and female, he made them. And there's a very clear definition, there's a very clear breaking line. And we understand this today probably more than any other generation before us, that in the gene code we have God, which, you know, the programming code, when you look at it from an IT perspective, we are going to be either one or the other. Yeah, one or the other. So if I have got a Y chromosome, and I claim to be a woman, there's something wrong, because obviously I'm not. Yeah? And obviously somebody with a Y chromosome is not a woman. You can pretend to be one, but really you are not. Okay, now the way they look at this, say, this is today's medicine, yeah? And I, my claim I make is I don't believe what they are talking about is correct. And I think they make a grave error. There are a lot of clinicians who would agree with me, and I've listened to them, and they think it's total madness which is going on today. You know, that kids who have got some issue in this area, that they are giving puberty blockers, and that they start operating on them before they have reached adulthood, because the doctors say it's better to do it then than later. And also, you know, kids who have gone part through the process, it's quite interesting when you sort of get into this subject, and then they realize this is all wrong, and they don't carry on with this, and they want to reverse. But obviously, there are certain operations, once they are done, it's very difficult to reverse them. You know, they don't work. Okay, let me just have a look at a quote here, and this is about a mental disorder, and how a mental disorder is defined. A mental disorder, also called a mental illness or psychiatric disorder, is a behavioral or mental pattern that causes significant distress or impairment of personal functioning. Such features may be persistent, relapsing, and remitting, or occur as a single episode. Many disorders have been described with signs and symptoms that vary widely between specific disorders. Such disorders may be diagnosed by a mental health professional. Okay. It's not very clear what it says here, but it's just that it is a great distress of some sort or another. And very often these people have got a great deal of distress. Yeah. One thing which, again, is swept under the carpet, there used to be a drug that's come out, and let me see whether I can find it. And if people who have got this gender dystrophy, I think it's called, if they take this drug, over a period of time, the desire to change sex goes away. I've forgotten what the drug is called. I heard some time ago a documentary on this drug, and it was discussed by clinicians. And it's not that expensive either. Yeah? And you don't have to, mutilate a body, like take bits off and put bits on and whatever. And put people through probably agonizing changes which really don't make a person male or female, bearing in mind that your gender is not determined just solely by your sexual organs, but it is determined by your gene code, you know, what your gene code says. So, anyway, that's really an issue with identity. So why, again, big question, why isn't this used in medicine? Why aren't people offered these drugs, which, you know, are dealing with possibly a hormonal imbalance of some sort or another, to compensate with this problem and to, you know, get people back on track and get them thinking normally again, you know, the way they should, and not having to go through all the operations. Big question. I don't know. I would suggest that there is an agenda behind it. That there might just be an agenda of money behind it. Doctors can make a huge amount of money if they diagnose gender dystrophy and then all the surgery at the back end of it. So some people get very rich out of it, and that might be the sole reason. There might be a different agenda behind it as well. Now, one thing they can't do, and I'm not sure whether they're ever going to do it, a man who changes his anatomical features to resemble a woman will not be able to bear a child. And you got this madness, which is going around as well, that women who have chosen to live like a man bear children, and suddenly, you know, it gets into all the news that a man had a child. And again, this is the ABC of life, of human life, of animal life, of anywhere, that God made him male and female. Somebody is either male or female. If you are male, you cannot bear a child. If you are a woman, you can bear a child. Very crazy world we are living in. Very, very crazy world we're living in. And again, that's all with the whole identity thing, that people identify as something they are not. Okay, I don't want to spend too much time on this. I think it's important for us as Christians to deal with this subject and to also address this subject. And I think the most important thing as Christians we can do is, if people have made the decision and they've gone through the, you know, the whole gender thing, we should be supportive, because very often what's happening is these people are very lonely, they lose a lot of friends, they are in dire straits, and we shouldn't just, you know, reject them for what they have done, even though we think, rightfully so, that this goes against what God has instituted, and that it goes against what the Bible says. So we still should be very supportive from a human point, you know, from person to person. Don't need to affirm what they have done to be the right thing, but they've done it and they are now at some stage after it. I need to get to them the love of Christ and the gospel. And I think that is very important for us within the church, because we will be getting these people coming to the church, and we will be getting these people hearing the gospel and responding to the gospel, and wanting to embrace a relationship with the living God. We need to deal with this. We need to welcome them. We need to help them in their need. Okay, here's some madness as well, which is going on in society right now. I want to play you a clip from Lauren Southern. She's a freelance journalist, and she tried to become a man, and obviously you can't see the video. What she's done is she, stuffed, she's actually quite a feminine, very good-looking woman. She stuffed all her hair in a little hut, you know, in a baseball cap, and went to a doctor, bullied the doctor to give her a letter that she is a man, and then she went to the local municipality to get her ID card as a man. And she got the doctor's note, and they didn't know what to do, and she got an ID card as a man. And it was obvious that she was a woman. Yeah, so she had she let her hair down, looked very attractive, high heels, and the rest of it. But she bullied the managed to bully the clerk at the office to give her an ID card as a man. So let's listen to the track here.
I'm here today because I'm going to be going to a doctor's clinic to see if I can be diagnosed as a man. I don't know if it'll work. I've got a pretty good getup, in my opinion. And because gender is on a spectrum, I mean, unless they're massive bigots, they'll have to give me the diagnosis. Ezra has already given me some excellent tips. Things to say. Pals before gals. May I have my license, m'lady? Thanks for the tips, Ezra. I'm sure they'll be super helpful. Let's go see if this works.
Okay, what can I do for you? You might not get this question often, and I don't mean to waste your time at all, but I've been a gender non-binary person for about a year now.
Sorry, gen?
Gender non-binary.
Binary.
So I use male pronouns, and among my friend groups, as Oliver can tell you, I've been identified as a male for a while. I don't always present as male, but gender is a spectrum. So, and unfortunately right now, before Trudeau's law goes through, in order to get your identity card for when you go into bars and everything, you have to have a doctor's note to have your proper gender on there. It's going to be changing in the next 2 years, and you won't have to have a doctor's note. So I just need a doctor's note that says I'm able to get my proper gender identification.
You're able to get your...
So when I go to get my driver's license, so when I go into bars and stuff, people don't misgender me. I just want to be able to have male on my gender identification on my driver's license card, but I need a doctor's note to do that. They're changing it in the next 2 years, so you don't need any...
So that you don't have to identify female or male.
Yeah, no. I use male pronouns along with my friends, yeah.
So that he doesn't have to identify as female on his official government documentation.
Well, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt. I mean, it's not like I can prove anything, right?
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah, thank you.
So this is to... Did you say identify?
To use, male identification.
This is to... When did you start using the... Male,
about a year ago.
So, any particular reason that the sudden change in the past year?
I feel that my gender is a more masculine gender. I don't always present as masculine, but inside, gender is a spectrum. It's different how you present, it's different how you feel, and I've always felt more masculine. I'm attracted to girls. I've always been more masculine.
So it's always been. It's not like it's a sudden thing from last year.
It's been a long time. My whole life.
Okay. Do you want me to say that you should be identified as a male?
Yes, please.
Okay. Oh, listeners of
thank
the
you so much.
The content. I really
thank you very much.
Okay, so I am in absolute shock right now. I am now medically diagnosed as a male. This is astonishing to me. I mean, it's quite clear that my hair is just up in a hat, but I guess that's all it takes to get your diagnosis. So I already have better eyesight. You know, I think I'm getting paid more. You know, I'm stronger. I feel more privileged. This is great. Being a man is great. But I need one last thing to be a real man. I need to legally be a man. So we're going to go and see if I can get my government ID changed to male. I'd like to get my Ontario ID card.
Sure. What documents do you have?
I brought a passport.
You never had a Ontario...
No, I just moved here a month ago. I've got my old BC license.
Then your middle name is...
Sherry. C-H-E-R-I-E.
How's it going?
$35 for this license?
Sure. One more thing. For purposes of this identification, I would like to be identified as male. I brought in all of the proper documents.
Huh. I'm glad to tell me. One moment, is there?
Yep.
I apologize for the sound there, for the noise, but she's on the phone now, the clerk. To say that...
thank you.
Lauren Southern, when you look at the video, she just looks like a very attractive woman.
Okay, so as of today, I now have a doctor's confirmation that I should be identified as a male and legal confirmation that I am indeed a dude. I honestly didn't expect it to be that easy. And you know what? Some people might be wondering, like, what's the big deal? So what if people can just change their gender whenever they want? How does that impact me? How does it impact society? Well, I'll tell you how it negatively impacts society. It makes us, as a whole, give up our sense of honesty, objectivity, and our respect for facts. I mean, we've gotten to this point of toxic hedonism where we've decided that we prefer feelings over objective honesty. We've decided that we prefer to be do whatever makes us feel good rather than acknowledge the reality of situations. I showed up to get my government ID wearing makeup. I had my hair down. I was wearing high heels. I was talking like a chick when I was there. But when I said I want to be a male, the government worker played into my delusions because she doesn't want to get fired. And in fact, if Bill C-16 goes through, Trudeau's new bill on transgender rights, LGBTQ things, people could literally go to jail for denying someone's gender identity, no matter what they present as, no matter if they have a doctor's note or anything. You could go to jail. That is insane. Today, you can go into a doctor's office, and this is even before Bill C-16 has gone through, and it'll take you 1 hour, not even, to intimidate a doctor into giving you whatever identification you want. We're embracing calling professors they. We're considering making it illegal to question people's ridiculous pronouns. How far can this go? Society is going to come to a crossroad at some point. Are we going to embrace reality or fiction? Thanks for watching. If you enjoyed that video, then be sure to hit the subscribe button to check out more content.
Okay. So, You've heard it. What is going on there? It's actually quite incredible, quite bizarre to see what is going on there. I mean, this is all in Canada, as you probably have picked up by the film, It is just crazy. It's just crazy. Absolutely crazy. And it's a thing. You look at the truth, the objectivity of what is there, which, you know, sometimes is blatant. And you know, people don't get it. Yeah, it's, you know, if you want to be one or the other, you know, that is no longer a standard anymore. Male and female is in discussion. You can choose and lose it as you want it. There's one interesting story as well, what happened here in Britain. There was one transgender person, so man to woman, and he wanted to become the women's representative at a university, and some feminist organizations, they went through the roof, and there was this big Twitter war, media war, what was going on, where feminists were saying, this is not on, you know, you can't have a man turned woman as a women's representative. You know, it can't be, because, and they said it, you know, they said it, that person is not a real woman. It's quite interesting. And it seems to be that the, you know, the cat is biting itself in its own tail. So the left is eating up itself. I don't know, you know, you're sometimes a little bit speechless with what is going on. Now, my friends, I just want to, again, make the point. It's important to, you know, face up to the truth. You are what you are. Yeah, I'm not a woman. Yeah, hopefully you can notice this. And I'll never be. Yeah, and vice versa. There are a lot of women out there. They'll never be men. Yeah? They might change the anatomy. They might insist of being called a man. They might, same lot of men might insist of being called a woman, but they will never bear children. Yeah? They will never have an XX chromosome in every cell of their body. You know, this transformation will never take place. They will always need to get artificial hormones to keep them going. And again, it's important as Christians for us to not be lured into this deception that is going on worldwide. And when you kind of stand back and you just look at it, and you look at the madness that is going on out there, the delusion which is going on out there, and this was just one example where a woman who looks like a woman bullies a doctor and a state worker, an office worker, into describing her as male and documenting her as being male. Crazy world, you know, where we are in and, you know, what we are facing up to. Again, identity, very, very important. Embrace your identity, whatever it is. Make the most of it. Yeah? There isn't a bad identity. It doesn't matter what race you are. You are, in the eyes of God, you are valuable, just as one another. It doesn't matter what gender you are. In the eyes of God, you are valuable in the way you've been created. Doesn't even matter whether, you know, your body is not 100% right, maybe you suffer a disability or anything like that. God loves you as you are. And we need to just embrace of what we are, the way we have been created. And one thing is certain is that it is marvelous, even if things are not always right. And I know in my body there are a lot of things which aren't right. And as I get older, they seem to multiply as well. But we need to embrace of what and who we are. And see God in our true identity, not some sort of fake identity. We're running out of time. Thank you for listening here in the Christian War Room. God bless and bye-bye.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to the Christian War Room with host Michael Sean Bourne. For more information on how you can participate or find out more about the Christian War Room, simply go to ChristianWarRoom.com. That's ChristianWarRoom.com.